And it is Tuesday, November 23rd, says the calendar, 2021. You're listening to Out There. Out There airs Tuesdays from 3 until 4. Though I'm not sure the future of it, because I'm actually going to Trinidad for December and January, and probably Kentucky again for February. I'm Ruthie Woodring. I'm your host of Out There. I've actually been in Kentucky the last 6 weeks, and for today's show, I got some clips from that trip and stories. I also want to say hi to Michael, Michael Olson's sitting in on the show today, doing a little observation. Maybe going to have your own show at some point in the near future. I didn't set you up with a mic, so I may ask you a few more questions at your show about your show towards the end of this show when I get you set up with a mic. So let's see. Yeah, so I was in Kentucky. So for today's show, I have a little story about my, I call it dribbling to the max, a biking basketball dribbling visit that I made to Red Onion State Prison, Supermax Prison in southwestern Virginia as part of my Kentucky travels. And I was going to see a friend there, my friend Pitt. So I'll play a piece from Pitt too, from the prison radio website. And I might have a piece from Isaac and Mallory. Isaac was my tandem biking buddy, a neighbor kid from the eastern Kentucky where I'm from, he's what, 13, 14 maybe? And I ended up riding bikes with him and his sister a little bit when I was there. And then also I may play a clip from Patrick Angel, Patrick used to do mine reclamation work. Actually, if you've listened to other Out There shows, you may have heard the previous show where Patrick talked about his planting trees on old strip mine sites. Well, now his project is to raise sheep on these old so-called reclaimed strip mine sites. But first, I'm going to start with a little story. So on my way back from Kentucky, how far back do I go? All right, so I took the bus from Knoxville up to Charlottesville, Virginia. Then I got on the Amtrak in Charlottesville, had a ticket up to Springfield, and it got in. The train got into Springfield at 10:30 at night. So I still had another 20 miles to go before I got up to Northampton. There's 11:30 train. My friend Mark had said he could come pick me up, but I can be stubborn. And so I'm like, no, I'm going to ride the Valley Bike Share bike that last 20 miles. Because, I mean, otherwise I don't like to be in cars. And I didn't really want to wait like the hour for the 11:30 train. And I like to bike. And it was it was a pretty mild November night. It was like 45 degrees or something. So I come up off the train with my backpack and I go down to check out the Valley Bike Share bike there at Union Station in Springfield. And the only problem is I don't have a cell phone. I have this like free Wi-Fi device. And in order to unlock the Valley Bikes, you either need a fob, which is like the plastic digital kind of thing that you wave across the little computer screen like a magic wand, and it will unlock the bike. Or some kiosks have a place where you can put in a debit card or credit card or pay electronically, but only a select few. And the machine has to be working. Or if you've got a phone device with an app on it, then you can unlock it with that app. So I was like, okay, I left the fob home during my trip because my housemates wanted to borrow my bike. Wait, are you allowed to do that with the system? I think so. So I didn't have my fob. So I'm like, okay, I'll unlock it with my device, my Wi-Fi device. I hope that the free Wi-Fi signal out of Union Station will stick out far enough that I can unlock the bike and pull it out of the kiosk before it locks up again. I think you've got like 5 seconds from the time you tell it on your device to unlock till it locks back up again. Anyway, so I come out of Union Station and I got my device out and I'm watching my Wi-Fi signals, trying to see how close I can get, how far away from the building I can get, and how close to the bikes. It's like 40 yards between the building and the bikes, and the Wi-Fi signal only went about 20 yards. So I tell it on my little device, unlock the bike, and then I go running over to the kiosk to try and jerk the bike out, but it would lock up like right at the time I would get there. So I tried that repeatedly. I kept losing the Wi-Fi signal, having to log back in, log out. Give us your phone number and we'll text you a password because now you have to log in again. And then it would tell me, oh, we want to know you're not a robot. How many bridges are in the picture? Anyway, when all was said and done, I was not able to get a bike. Oh, yeah, at one point I set my backpack down halfway between Union Station and the kiosk because I was thinking I could run faster without my backpack. And I was also, I left my backpack and my phone like halfway between the two on the sidewalk and would like hit unlock and then go running. But I still, I don't know. The bikes, they wouldn't, for some reason, I couldn't get them to unlock. Now, I was surprised that the security didn't come this time because, you know, when you leave a backpack in the middle of something and then go sprinting away, that might be a little suspicious. But I didn't see any security, didn't see anyone. So I'm still trying to get back to Northampton. It's like 11:15 at night. And I'm like, well, by this time, I might as well just get on the 11:30 train. So then I go up to the platform to try and buy a ticket online again. This whole like online technological device thing is my nemesis in some days. And so I go up to the platform and I'm trying to buy the ticket on the Amtrak website, on the app, just on the website. And I keep getting this message from Amtrak that says, "We are experiencing an unknown error." and so I showed the conductor people there. They were standing there waiting for the train because the train was already just sitting there waiting for 11:30. I was like, I'm trying to get a ticket, but I keep getting this message. Can I pay you cash or is there some other way to get a ticket? And they're like, nope, sorry. So then I went back downstairs. I'm like, okay, I'll email my friend Mark to have him come pick me up. But I go back downstairs and the only person I see down there is a cleaning guy, and he sees me, and he says, I'm sorry, but you'll need to leave the station because it's only for ticketed passengers. I was like, anyway, I just went outside because I like it better outside anyway. So then I go outside. I'm on the sidewalk, and I was pretty excited to be home. I was feeling a little high on life, and I knew I had like 30 or 40 minutes to wait for Mark, and had to stay warm too, so I was just kind of jumping around, dancing around here and there, picking up trash and dancing it over to the trash can. And then I found this ribbon kind of piece of trash. It's like 3 feet long. It's a kind of like the backing to sticky tape that's got that shiny gloss on it. And the way it shone in the street lights was really pretty, quite amazing. And so I was waving it around like the flag corps people might as part of a marching band. And I was having a good old time. And yes, I did sit up in the windowsill of Union Station at one point. But anyway, I was there dancing with my ribbon when the security guard comes out. And I'm just standing with my feet planted, waving my ribbon around, watching it. And he comes out, and I see him out of the corner of my eye, and he stands there for a minute. And finally, I stop and say, hi. I said, yeah, hi, I'm waiting for my friend. I was trying to check out a Valley bike to go back to Northampton. Then I was trying to get on the train, and neither of those worked, so I'm just waiting for my friend to come pick me up. And I said, I'm practicing my dance for him. And the security guard says, oh, is he your boyfriend? I was like, well, we don't really use labels, but he's my buddy. And so the security guard watched for another minute, and then he went back inside. So I kept on entertaining myself and enjoying the evening and waving my ribbon around. And I jumped back up into that windowsill. And then I saw the security guard come out again. And I was pretty sure he would be like, hey, you need to get out of that windowsill. Which, you know, fair enough. That was like pushing the limits there, sitting in the windowsill. But he comes out. And when he came out, I jumped back down. And I was standing on the sidewalk there. And he comes back out and he says, you need to leave. And I said, why? And he said, just get off the property. And I said, go where? And he was like, I don't care. Just get off the property. And I was like, well, all right. Didn't really feel like fighting. So I took my ribbon and my backpack and slowly danced my way down towards the sidewalk towards, I don't know, Dwight Street, whatever it is down there. But eventually Mark came. But I was kind of surprised. I got kicked off a Union Station property for dancing. I was high. Yeah, I was a little high on life. That's all I was high on, was life. And I don't know. But all right. Too much yakky yakky. Let me play a song, and then I'll come back to more stories. However, sadly, the song that I had lined up, I seem to have lost track of. So I'll go to a clip because I'm tired of talking. The clip, you know what? I'll play this from my friend Pitt, Peter Mercuria. So, when I went to Kentucky, one of the highlights of my trip was this bike dribble trip to the Supermax prison. So Pitt is my friend who's locked up at the Supermax prison. I found out, I met him back in April through a network called Prison Radio. Prison Radio has correspondents all over the country who are incarcerated and call and leave messages. And here's a message from Pitt. This is from October 18th, 2021. That was about the time. Wait, that was posted on the same day that I went to visit. All right, well, here you can get a little flavor of him and who he is.
This is Comrade Pitt. This commentary is titled Transforming the Iron Houses of Oppression into Schools of Liberation. Conversations from a Prison Cell. I recently had an interesting one-on-one dialogue with a peer of mine. Now, usually every morning I tend to begin my days by watching the morning news. My peer, who was housed in the cell next to mine, typically doesn't wake up until much later in the afternoon. Oftentimes he doesn't even wake up to receive his breakfast tray. But this one particular morning, as I'm sticking to my routine, I hear a very familiar voice say, quote, "Bruh, I don't even know why you fight with these people. If you just put the energy on getting out of prison and just go along with what they tell you, you'd probably be in a good position," unquote. Given this was uncharacteristic for him to initiate a conversation at a time he's usually asleep, especially a dialogue which started with such a statement, I couldn't help but laugh a bit. Now, in the 2 months I've been housed beside him in the segregation unit, we've had a lot of conversation, and I noticed how his entire life was based upon astrology, from family, sports, hobby, etc. Even his incarceration is attributed to the positions of the moon, sun, and stars. To say he is idealistic is really an understatement. He is quite a character, extremely sensational, which he attributes to his zodiac sign, Pisces. According to him, if I only heeded to my zodiac sign, Leo, then the moon, sun, and stars would align in my favor and place me in a much auspicious circumstance. He adheres to astrology like most pastors adhere to the Bible, but as one who believes in dialectical materialism, I disagree with such idealistic notion, but I listened. As the conversation went on, I explained to him how I never wake up with premeditated intent of engaging the pigs in a fight. I pointed out to him the foul inhumane conditions of confinement and mistreatment that we are subjected to each day, which he too, by the way, isn't exempt from. In such conditions and mistreatment aren't directly challenged by those most affected, us, then how can we anticipate for any kind of change? Change only comes to those who fight for it. I wish I never had to fight, but such luxury isn't afforded to an oppressed class. I share with him a quote by Mumia Abu-Jamal that states, quote, "Tomorrow belongs to those who fight hardest today," unquote. I went a bit further and explained to him that despite his incarceration, he still has rights. And if he, quote, goes along, unquote, with the oppression he's subjected to, as he suggested I do, then he makes a hard argument to why others should fight for his humanity and dignity. This part right here, he stumbled a bit. To some degree, he sounded defeated and hopeless. I could detect from his voice, as I too have experienced the same feelings far too many times. You fight and it just seems effortless, and the marauder fact of looking against you makes it appear inexpugnable. It is in these moments that I try to muster the will and the courage to fight on when I remember the sacrifices countless other prisoners made in hopes of alleviating and or eradicating the oppression future generations will be subjected to under the carceral system. I recall when I first arrived at this infamous prison called Red Onion Prison, assaults on restrained prisoners, deprivation of meals, showers, indoor outer cell exercise, along with the inhumane practice of solitary confinement, which still exists to this day, but not to the level it once did, was not merely systemic, but an established norm, as though it was part of the operating procedures. However, in the midst of it, there was also a culture of resentment amongst prisoners in which we stood up for each other's humanity and dignity. This resistance is the product of the fact that oppression inevitably breeds resistance. At this stage of the conversation, he seemed to concur with my point, but there was still a part of him which strongly had bought into the notion that if you just go along, then sooner or later, they will stop with the mistreatment. If it only worked like that, I thought, this carrot-on-a-stick idea then spontaneously began circulating in prisons. It is an idea strategically and meticulously enforced by prison crats, for if the oppressed prisoners are thus receptive, then it benefits the prison crats while our suffering only intensifies. It's really nothing more than a psychological tactic. And I'm reminded quite often that, quote, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed, unquote. It's a quote by Stephen Bantu Biko. I shared this quote with him, and he asked for, give me a couple minutes so I can write it down real quick. I thought, sure. Now, throughout the years of my incarceration, I personally couldn't count the number of times the pigs have told me, quote, if you only minded your business and just stay out of trouble, you'd be all right, unquote. Now, minding your business is their way to discourage us from speaking out for each other, and it's impossible to stay out of trouble since those who advocate for others are bound to be retaliated upon. I suppose this was the, quote, good trouble, unquote, which John Lewis often spoke about. Good trouble that I would always engage in, no matter the consequences or retaliations. The idea of, quote, going along, unquote, I see it as being complicit in your oppression in some way. Therefore, resistance becomes an attractive remedy. After hours of this conversation, I asked him if he'd be interested in reading Michelle Alexander's magnum opus, The New Jim Crow. He agreed to check it out. Though getting the book to him was a challenge in and of itself, we were nonetheless able to make it possible. I asked him to take his time to study, take key notes, and return to me summaries explaining what he read, what he took away from it, and we can build further. Teaching and learning is a symbiotic process. He grows, I grow. He retreated into his own world, inside his cell, as did I. The very next morning, my routine of watching news was once again interrupted. Having braced myself for the dialogue to once again commence with talks of astrology, eventually transitioning to where our previous conversation ended, he actually resurfaced by getting straight to the point. Ah, must be a Pisces thing, I thought. Having read only the first two chapters, surely he didn't study much. He stated that he would study more, but he wanted to discuss how the book resonated with him thus far. More specifically, the second chapter. He talked about how he was incarcerated as a teenager. Unfamiliar with the function of the legal system, he was convinced by his court-appointed attorney to plead guilty in order to avoid a harsh mandatory sentence. However, upon accepting the plea deal, he was still sentenced to a lengthy prison sentence. And the second chapter helped him put a lot of things in perspective, especially in regards to his own personal case. Like many people from the streets, due to socioeconomic disparity and lack of opportunity, he resorted to the drug game as a means to an end. His story is a reflection of many other stories in prison. He talked about how he's heard the term, quote, war on drugs, unquote, but never truly comprehended how it not only impacted him, but his entire community. He has a keen and gritty intelligence, which is common amongst people from the streets, and I could tell that he was moved by the first two chapters of the book, so I knew his studies weren't going to stop anytime soon. His modus operandi was evolving. I urged him to study further, and we will build as we go. The next day, surely he surfaces, we build. A few days later, a week later, and each time he's more receptive. His mind grows. It's a protracted process, but certainly symbiotic because as he learns from me, I also learn from him. This morning, the dialogue began with the hypocrisy of the Pledge of Allegiance, which we recited countless of times in school. He started referencing to the New Jim Crow to make his point. At this point, I took on the role of the student. He intelligently articulated how equality and the right to, quote, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness doesn't apply to all people. My response was, I know. And that's why we have a responsibility to not go along with our oppression, but rather play a part in resisting and ultimately changing this whole rotten system. But the system is too big and powerful, he says, something that I've encountered before with such conversations. And I remind him that nothing is more powerful than the power of the people. And the Declaration of Independence actually says that, quote, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, unquote. This is why we use the slogan, all power to the people, because all power truly comes from the people. And we not only have the power, but we more importantly have the power to abolish any oppressive, exploitative system and all of its structure. I read to him a quote by George Jackson that, quote, if we all stand up, our collective power will destroy the forces that oppose us, unquote. Despite the difficulties, I was able to send him more books such as Democracy Denied, When We Fight, We Win, Panther Vision 1 and 2, Defying the Tomb, Wretched of the Earth, and Blood in My Eyes. I told him he can keep them so long as he vows to continue studying them. A couple of days later, I was moved to a different housing unit back to general population. Now, the Revolutionary Intercommunalism Black Panther Party greatly emphasizes on the significance of turning these iron houses of oppression into schools of liberation. We understand that a vast majority of those in prisons will eventually be released back to society. Therefore, our goal is to empower and educate them so that they will play a pivotal role in changing their communities. Now, and also by being an asset rather than a liability, and play a critical revolutionary role in abolishing oppression and exploitation of human beings by other human beings. Now, by the end, when he was all said and done, I not only made a great friend, but I also, most importantly, made a comrade. And I definitely look forward to his journey as he progresses through it all. All power to the people, comrades. Thank you for your time.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
That was Peter Pitt Mukuria, a friend of mine, locked up in Pound, Virginia, that I went to visit, well, in my own way. Couldn't actually visit him because of COVID and the prison didn't allow visitors. And I couldn't visit him because of his solitary confinement status, or so I thought. And because I haven't gotten on his approved visiting list yet. But I've got clips from that visit coming up next. Oh, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And first, here's a little song from Chronics.
Here is a story told to the children of Africa.
We love the children of Africa, teaching the children. Ooh, da, 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 da. La, da, da, da. Oi. Black eye, black hair, black skin, black queen, stand majestic with the black king. Today I'll sing you a black song, you need to hear about beautiful black things. Cause most time we hear about black, we hear about black magic and black witches. Blacklist, black book, black market, black Friday, you spend off your black witches. I've never seen a doctor in black, nor seen a black pill to cure no black people. But I've seen bush doctors like Tosh and Molly resurrect like a real black beetle. Malcolm, Marcus, Martin. When you see Walter Rodney, ask him. How you not hear about how we laughing? So when the little offspring asking, tell them. They never told us that black is beautiful. They never told us black is beauty. They never told us that black is beautiful. They never told us. They never told us that black is beautiful. Behave and I go on like you never spend 500 years on a farm. The same chain you are wearing a gwan is another black life in Sierra Leone. Boy, them find out Mama Earth got golden. Them mine out Mama Earth black soul then. You work hard just forget a black yard. Same yard where you swipe by back your black golden. Well, I see no faces long, but this is not a racist song. This is a song for the children who was never told about where their race is from. They never hear it in them favorite songs. Everybody calm and say slavery's done. What I got one when the babies come? I start read about things like Dogon's Black Kemet and Kush, Black Kings, Black Senate and books. We teach about pyramids and put real significance to we physical looks. So every word when we sing black, in my world everything black. Black, white, white, black, right back. So don't be surprised if me say me king black. Cause they never told us that black is beautiful. They never told us black is beauty.
They never told us that black is beautiful. They never told us.
They never told us that black is beautiful.
Oh no. He's preaching, good God, the things that he preaches. I wonder who taught him to preach. Teacher is teaching, where did he get his degree? Now it is no mystery, who taught us black history? He's up.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. My next clip is, I'm going to cut back and forth between telling the story and cutting to the clip, I think. So this clip, as promised, this is my visit to go see Pitt. I figured, you know, since he's locked up, I can't really see him. At least I just want to get as close as I can until I'm told to turn around. Because when you go visit someone who's locked up, you know, a big part of the visit is like the journey, the anticipation of the journey there, and the aftermath, the amount of time that you actually have face-to-face, that's a very small part. So many visits are like through the glass on a telephone anyway. So I rode my bike for like 3 days. You know what? I'm just going to go to this clip. Well, do I need to give any more introduction? Let me think. I'm trying to remember where it starts. I edited this clip yesterday. I may just stop it here and there.
I'm a little nervous trying to have everything I need in my pockets, but yet without it looking like I could have a weapon on me.
Okay, so where this clip starts is I had ridden my bike to within like 3 miles of the Supermax prison in southwestern Virginia, right near Pound, Virginia. And I had only seen it on Google Maps. I didn't know how close I would be able to get. There was a main turnoff from the main road. Then, like, the prison was like 3 miles down a county road. You know what? Let me back up a little bit to my journey before I got there, because now I'm remembering some other important pieces of it. So it was a 3-day journey there. I stayed with a friend the first night. I stayed with a new friend the second night in Whitesburg, Tennessee. Someone actually that I got to know. She's involved with the Hands Across the Hills project, which is a project between Letcher County, Kentucky, and Leverett, Massachusetts. She's who I stayed with in Whitesburg. And then the next morning when I left her house, and the day that I was riding to the prison, it was like 8 miles down a county road from her house to the four lane. And I get to the four lane, which goes like 15 miles up and over Pine Mountain over to Pound. I get to the four lane and it's under construction and all the traffic has been routed to the outside lane and on the shoulder. And I looked at that and I looked at the tractor trailers and I looked at the RVs and I was like, there is no room for me there. And so, I looked at that for a minute, and then I was at the construction staging area, so I asked one of the construction workers, like, how far up the mountain does this construction go? And he said, oh, it goes all the way. And I said, huh, maybe I should hitchhike. And he said, oh, you'd probably be better off hitchhiking. And I thought, wow, when does anyone ever say it's safer to hitchhike? And he said, you'd probably be safer that way. That's what he said. I was like, oh, when does anyone ever say that? So I tried to hitchhike there at the intersection, and then I realized my bike tire was flat, and so I flipped it upside down to fix it, and I was like, oh, this is even better. Surely someone will see a cyclist in distress, and it'll be obvious I need a ride. But no luck. I was there for almost an hour, and then I see a Letcher County Sheriff vehicle pull up, and so I go over and say hi to the driver, and I said, hey, I'm just trying to get up and over the mountain to Pound. Any idea, any recommendations about how I can get there on a bike? And he said, well, you could go around. It's like four times as long, but you could go around. And he said, oh, you could just try the next exit up. I think it's a little easier up there. So I rode through town and circled around and joined up on the next exit, but it looked just the same. Like there's orange barrels in the middle of the highway and all the traffic on the outside lane. So I stood there for a minute with my bike, and then I thought, you know what? That left lane is freshly paved, and it's separated by all those barrels. Why? I think that's a bike lane just for me. And so I took that lane up the mountain until I got to the paving vehicles, and it was great. It felt very safe, very smooth. And so anyway, then I got to the top of the mountain, and at the top of the mountain was the Kentucky-Virginia line. So I was coming into Virginia, and there were a couple of memorials. There's a whole Civil War memorial site on the Kentucky side. On the Virginia side, there was a new historical marker from 2020 that said that was the site in 1926, I believe, where a black coal miner from Jenkins on the Kentucky side of the mountain was lynched by a white mob. And I read that sign, that memorial, and I feel like it strengthened my resolve, because that's kind of how the prison system feels. In particularly this prison in southwestern Virginia, which is a prison where a lot of guys from the more urban areas of Virginia, like Richmond and big cities, they get sent down to rural Appalachia. Many of the prisoners being black and brown, and the prison staff being almost exclusively white. And the prisons that were built in this rural area is just like supposedly for the economy, even though I've read studies say it doesn't actually benefit the economy. Anyway, so I passed that historic marker, and then I just kept on riding. And the roads weren't the most friendly, bike-friendly roads. And I feel like the most dangerous part of my trip was just the bike ride there and the traffic and not getting run over. Not getting run over made me feel like a success by the time I got really close to the prison. And so then when I turned off this road, it was a narrow two-lane with a lot of traffic and trucks and stuff, and I turned off of that road onto the quiet county road that led the 3 miles into the prison. It felt kind of peaceful, actually, even though I was nervous. And then I had made this special shirt for the occasion, and I had painted it, and I had brought my basketball because I love basketball. And also Pitt and I, we also have this like imaginary basketball game going on between us. And so I parked my bike, I went down the road like a mile, had another 2 miles left to go. So I had picked out a spot on Google Maps satellite image where I wanted to leave my bike, because I saw there was a little bit of trees, a little bit of bushes there. Because this is old strip mine territory where there wasn't like forests. It had all been, dozed, and some scrub had grown back, but not a whole lot. So I saw on the satellite image, okay, there's a little bit of bushes. I bet I can stash my bike there. So I got close. I looked both ways, nothing coming, grabbed my bike and set it, jumped over the guardrail with it and walked into the bushes and got my special shirt on, and got my basketball, and then walked back out and jumped back over the guardrail. Let's see where the clip starts up here.
Plus, I've still got to be able to dribble the basketball, new basketball tricks, so I can't be having too much baggage hanging off of me. All right, I'm going to grab the ball, and the fun's going to begin. I did a lot of running when I was 17, 18, 19. The longest I ever ran was I did a half marathon once, 13 miles, and I did the whole thing dribbling a basketball when I was 17. I'm only going like 2.5 miles now. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. I thought I was going to walk my way in, but once I had the ball in my hands and started dribbling, I just want to run.
I want to stop the clip right here and say, so my shirt, it said, "End solitary confinement" in big capital letters, and then underneath it said, "I'm tired of playing with myself." And it had a couple basketballs on it.
Oh my gosh, around the corner, and here it is. I had no idea it would be so close.
So I had gone, I had dribbled for like 20, 25 minutes. I accelerated the time and editing things out of the clip.
So close.
Go back that way.
All right.
My name is Ruthie Wedring. I'm here to see Peter Mercurio. I was just wondering if he could come out to play.
I'm about to call the police on you.
All right.
You need to go that way.
What point does...
See a sign right there?
I see this sign that says no admittance past this point.
You need to go that way now.
Okay. But this is still, like, this road is public until that point, right?
Well, at this point, he was already on the phone or the radio or something. And so, I had not passed any sign that said Red Onion State Prison or, you know, whatever. It's just a sign that he had mentioned where it said no admittance beyond this point. So I did the first thing that had occurred to me, which was I took a knee. And then I took two knees and I bowed on my basketball and just said a prayer. I said a prayer for all the people locked up there, all the people who work there, because it's a very stressful place to work, like that guard. So that guard that hollered at me, he had actually driven back and forth past me repeatedly during the 20-25 minutes that I was walking in. I saw the same truck, same license plate. I saw the badge on his shoulder. So I knelt there, said prayer for a minute, and then I felt like, you know, I did what I came to do. So I got up and I started dribbling out.
At what point can I sit and eat my lunch? I guess I do my basketball tricks.
All right, he's calling in. Now I'm worried Pitt's going to get in trouble.
Yeah, at this point I turned around. I was dribbling back out.
Came all this way just to get yelled at. What did I expect? But I got a little flavor of the harshness. Tiny flavor of the harshness. Just makes me want to cry. All the harshness in the world. Coming and going in so many different directions.
That guard truck keeps driving by.
Yeah, as I was dribbling out, I looked over my shoulder on occasion. I could see the guard truck was behind me, like 100 yards back, just following me. And if I would jog a little faster with a basketball, they would speed up. At one point, I realized there was actually two trucks behind me following about 100 yards back. If I would slow down and walk, they would slow down. At one point, there was a nice scenic overlook, so I took a little selfie, and they stopped and waited. And then as I was getting closer to where my bike was stashed, after about 20 minutes or so of walking, jogging back out, I was like, okay, I need to talk to them to tell them. I think I say this all in the clip.
The one with the UTT license plate. Oh, now the guard truck is following me, going slowly. Probably gonna wait and see where I stash my bike or where my getaway vehicle is. Yep. So maybe this ain't over yet. I think the guard truck is still on my tail. Once when I spent just a brief period of time, a few hours, in a cell, small cell by myself, I didn't know how long it was going to be. Well, I knew it wasn't going to be longer than a day or two. But I entertained myself by, like, you know, practicing my dance moves with my music in my head. Till one of the prison guards, or this is Springfield Police Department, the police lockup officer said, "You can't do that." I think they were afraid I was going to jump off the, well, you know, they was afraid I was going to hurt myself. Maybe I would have jumped off the bed head first to kill myself. Now I think I should ask them to come close so I can talk to them before I step over the guardrail and into the woods to get my bike. Otherwise, I'm going to disappear into the woods. They're going to see me disappear into the woods. And I don't know, they might think I'm going to come out shooting.
He's the sheriff. Wise County Sheriff.
The sheriff, he stopped to talk to the other two guys in trucks. Now, here's my spot. So I gotta ask him if he can come close.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Enjoying my day.
I hear you.
Yeah. I have a friend who's locked up there, and I just wanted to send him some good vibes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm on my way out.
Okay. I'm not sure if they want you coming back or not.
Yeah.
Do you have any ID on you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Oh, focus.
So are you just walking, or do you have a vehicle?
Yeah, I got a bike, and I wanted to talk to someone because it's in the woods, and I'm like, I don't want to disappear in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be afraid I'll come out shooting or something.
Where's your bike
it's
at?
Just right down there.
It's over there?
Yeah.
Oh, let me take a look at your ID, and we'll get you on your way, okay? Mm-hmm. Nine to Wise. I've got Tech 29's name and date of birth. It's going to be on a Ruth Woodring. A Ruth Woodring. It's January 1974.
I'm recording this.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I am too.
Good.
That's an interesting shirt you got there. Did you make that?
I did. Yes, I did. I painted it special for this situation.
Yeah, I don't... I don't think you're in any trouble with anything that you've done with me. I just think they just don't want you coming back on their property.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly why.
Going on, it's coming back. Not down in Virginia.
10-4, negative 29. Where are you headed to? You riding a bicycle a long way?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going back over towards Whitesburg. I'm staying with some friends, but I've been riding for the last 3 days.
That's cool.
To get here.
What kind of bike you got?
It's a road bike. It's an old Schwinn. My mom, in the 80s, she used to do triathlons.
Yeah.
And so she actually rode it when she did the Ironman triathlon. She was 60 years old at the time.
So you live in Whitesburg?
No, I'm just staying with some friends.
Staying there?
Okay.
Yeah. Let me give this back to you. How's it going?
Good, how you going?
All right.
Is it okay if I go grab my...
Not to come back on the property? Okay, if you want to tell her, I got her information.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
We don't need you to come back on the property anymore, okay?
All right, what's the reason?
Huh?
What's the reason?
Well, one, it was trespassing.
At what point?
And two, you was about trespassing. I had to stop you. You can come all the way down. Anyway.
Well, I was only going to go until I was told that that was far enough. I had, I'm not trying to cause trouble. I'm just trying to.
Reason to come down and ask for an inmate that's housed at our facility if he can come out and play.
To make you laugh.
I didn't find it real funny.
Yeah, I was thought maybe you wouldn't be humored, but I thought it was worth a try. And also, I just wanted to give him my, send him my care and concern, and also for everyone who's here because I know it's a really rough place. For everyone who works here and is housed here and everyone, so I just my heart goes out to everyone.
Well, usually when people show up unannounced on foot, it's something that we look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a car, I don't have a driver's license.
It's a threatening approach.
Okay.
So, are you from around here?
No.
So you didn't walk here from?
No, I biked from Bell County. I spent 3 days biking, but I'm staying with some friends over in Whitesburg right now.
He's got all your information. We'll do a report requesting that you not be back here in the premises.
Yeah, can you just clarify, is there any any property, anything
open,
that I broke?
Visitation is not open to the public yet.
Yeah.
And you have to be an approved visitor before you can even visit with an inmate.
Yeah.
And if I had to guess, you're not in any approved
business. I'm in the list. All my information is in the Virginia DOC list, but it's not. I'm not approved yet.
You still can't show up outside of visitation hours.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I just wanted to send him my love, basically. Yeah. And I try to put myself in your all's shoes, and in the shoes of the people who are in there. And
you understand. You were walking into unannounced, asking to see And anyway, had you made it any further than that, you know,
I figured there would be some sort of...
That would have been something bad.
Yeah, but...
It could have possibly. We don't know if you're armed or what.
Yeah, I understand. I know. I felt bad about these corn nuts. I was trying to not make them bulge too much. I assume there would be a checkpoint. Of course, it's a prison. You're going to have a checkpoint or a guard or a gate or someone tell you. You can't go any farther. And so that was my only intention, to go there and greet people and all that. All right. All right. What's your name?
Major King.
All right. You know mine. I'm Ruth Woodring.
Do you want to get your bike?
Yeah, I got to get my bike. I just want you to know that's what I'm doing, going into the woods. Coming out of the woods with bike. I do have one question. Like, as someone who doesn't drive a car, doesn't have a driver's license, it seems odd to me that coming on a bike or on foot would be threatening. Just because it's unusual? You probably don't see it very often. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
It's okay. Are you like a...
Yeah. Sorry for that turned out bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you like an inmate advocate or what?
I care a lot about people and human rights and so you could say that, sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm reading you, sure.
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, they have their policies read that you're not just
well,
they have their policies.
Hope y'all have a good rest of your day.
You need to follow their policies as you go on.
Yeah, yeah.
Take property, okay?
Yeah. But right. To clarify, though, I didn't go on their property, correct?
No, I stopped.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you went.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Take care. You know how I said that law enforcement is really good at making you think you've done something really bad, you made a really bad decision, and you're really stupid? Wow, that's kind of how I feel right now. Because right now I'm like, I'll never get to see Pitt. They're going to torture him now. And it's all because I had a funny shirt. Because I thought I had a funny shirt. And that's like years. They're going to hold him in solitary for a year because of my actions. And put him in the 5-point restraints. And they're going to be so cruel to him. The back of the sheriff's truck says, "In God we trust."
All right, that is the end of that clip. You know, when I was editing that clip yesterday, I was like, wow, I do sound a little snarky. If I were to redo that, I might say things a little bit differently. But anyway, no regrets, no regrets. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And... next, I think we need a song. After that, we definitely need a song. Thanksgiving is coming up in a few days. Thanksgiving or the National Day of Mourning. This is Superman with Miracle featuring Maimona Youssef.
This prayer grass in my hand, take it to the Most High. We need a blessing tonight. Stand by our side as we fight. Screaming out, water is life, a miracle. Spirit of the Ghost dance. Light of this prayer grass in my hand, take it to the Most High. We need a blessing tonight. Stand by our side as we fight. Screaming out, water is life.
My sisters and my brothers hurt, so I spoke this word through the heartbeat of Mother Earth. I say a prayer and put it down for what it's worth. For those who oppose and only see color first. For my two sons, my daughter and wife, and the father of lights, I started the fight. Slaughtering mics, ready to die like a martyr tonight. With my fist in the sky, saying water is life. And yo, it takes a nation of millions to hold us back. This is treaty land, we see these scams. Hey yo, we know the facts. Evil collapses and cowers in fear. The hour is near, let the world unite with the power of prayer. Yeah, my family rise to fire.
listening. And yo, we still here, is there anybody listening? From Flint, Michigan, to my Egyptian friends, Minnesota, all around the world, are you listening?
We need a miracle, spirit of the Gold Saints, light up this bread as a lion, take it to the Most High.
Thonker. We in the valley of the beast with these wicked monsters. When we trying to keep it peace and they take us under. Is it better or Beretta underneath my bomber? We was pleading to the governors, Lady Obama's. We ain't even wanna lie, just some clean water. Just a little bit of life for our sons and daughters. If a penny for your thoughts, then I'm throwing quarters. Cause they never think about all the people poorer. Only rich and the white get the right to water. If we vote or if we fight, we becoming martyrs. Throwing federal charges at Lakota lawyers. I salute the true courage of our red waters. Against our laws, my people pushing forward. Wish we had them at the pilgrims at the border. With a travel ban, pushed them back into the water. Put a sign up on the rock saying don't loiter. Or maybe a tall wall would have been in order. Cause we gave them liberty and they gave us slaughter. No land of the free for my forefathers. Now we're praying for miracles with tobacco offers. To a power that's higher than any man-made office. As the prophecy unfolds, there's no wins and losses. God trumps all self-proclaiming bosses. In the end, when they squandered all the earth's resources, they will learn that their children cannot eat their coffers.
We need a miracle, spirit of the Ghost Saints. Light up this prayer as a lion, take it to the Most High.
Thanks for listening to Out There today. Out There is followed by Madness Radio at 4 o'clock and Democracy Now! At 5. What else I want to say? The future of Out There is kind of uncertain. I think I might take off of the show until March, but hopefully Car Talk. I'm not sure if, not Car Talk, sorry, Bike Talk. This guy Nick doing Bike Talk. He might play repeat show during this Tuesday hour, but that's yet to be determined. So I'll have more stories next Tuesday. We'll be live in the studio again next Tuesday with probably some more stories from Kentucky and less exciting stories from Massachusetts happen between now and then, which is quite likely. So that's all I got to say for now. Thanks again. And Western Mass Surge. They have some really great information about Thanksgiving, or should I celebrate Thanksgiving? That's on one of the Google Docs, just trying to recognize Indigenous history around it. But here. Thanks for listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling grab you deep inside and send you reeling where your love can't hide, and then go stealing through the moonlit nights with your lover. Just let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love go with the smallest of dreams, and let your love show, and you'll know what I mean. It's the season. Let your let your love fly like a bird on a wing, and let your love bind you to all living things, and let your love shine, and you'll know what I mean. That's the reason. There's a reason for the warm, sweet nights, and there's a reason for the candle lights. Must be the season when those love rides shine all around us. So let that wonder take you into space, and there you wonder, it's love and embrace. Just feel the thunder as it warms your face. You can't hold back, just let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love grow with the smallest of dreams, and let your love show, and you'll know what I mean. It's the season. Let your love fly like a bird on a wing, and let your love bind you to all living things, and let your love shine, and you'll know what I mean. That's the reason. Just let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love go with the smallest of dreams, and let your love show, and you'll know what I mean. It's the season.